Hello, it's Thursday, April 20th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio, which can be found at www.wingtv.net. We hope everybody's doing good today. A beautiful day here in Happy Valley, Pennsylvania. It's going to hit 80 degrees today. This weekend we have our big blue-white game, so there'll be a lot of people coming into town. And speaking of people coming into town, China's president, Mr. Hu Jintao, is in Washington, D.C. today meeting with pretend President George W. Bush. What do you think, Lisa?
What are they talking about?
Well, there's a couple things on the agenda. First of all, there's Iran, of course, and there's North Korea. Iran, I think this is the final powwow to have everybody putting their heads together and saying, all right, here's what we're going to do. Here's what we want to do. How are you going to react if we do this? And so forth. This is where, and it's not George Bush negotiating with Jintao. What it is when they finally get done with their photo ops and their little speeches and so forth, then they go behind closed doors and they bring the real players out and they start talking.
It's very interesting how China is now being recognized as this regional power.
Oh, well,
by the West.
Well, they are. I mean, it's because they are. Other than Israel, there's not another nation on Earth that I trust less than China. I mean, anybody that
thinks... Well, we've been warning people to keep their eye on China for quite a long time now, for years.
Yeah, and anybody that thinks China is even remotely an ally to the United States is horribly mistaken, because there's been so many backdoor deals cut between China and the international bankers and the multinational corporations, that it's absurd. I mean, just look at where they've come in a mere 10 years. There's never been a country that's grown as fast as China has in one mere decade.
Yeah, I was reading this article in the Asia Times called Containing China. And in it, the author talks about how the Bush administration's grand strategy is now being revealed. It's not aimed primarily at the defeat of global terrorism or the incapacitation of rogue states or even for the spread of democracy in the Middle East. This author says the truly commanding objective of this administration and its handlers, I guess, is the underlying basis for budgets and troop deployments, the containment of China.
Mm-hmm.
The containment of China. And he says that this objective governed the White House planning during Bush's first 7 months in office and was sort of derailed and put on the back burner when the administration decided to highlight the war on terror.
Yeah. See, I don't know how much I agree with that, though, because from the perspective of the New World Order elite, that have a definite view of how they want society to be run, I would think that China is their ideal.
Yeah, well,
because,
listen.
Okay.
This author goes on to say that by the time W came into office, the pool of potential rivals to the West, to the U.S. predominance, had been narrowed down in elite thinking to one, the People's Republic of China.
Mm-hmm.
He says, China, it was claimed, possesses the economic and military capacity to challenge the United States as an aspiring superpower. Therefore, perpetuating U.S. global predominance meant, and still means, containing Chinese power. He says, China has become a strategic competitor, not a strategic partner, as the Clinton administration
right.
once described it. It's interested in altering Asia's balance of power in its own favor and resents the U.S. role in the Asia-Pacific region. And Rumsfeld, I guess, in June of 2005, gave a speech, and in it he was saying that China's been expanding its missile forces, allowing them to reach targets in many areas of the world and improving its ability to project power in the Asia-Pacific region.
Yeah, well, if you think about how China is handling themselves right now, what they've done is they've been the recipient of a vast majority of our outsourcing. Our factories have moved into quite a few different third world countries, but China's been one of the biggest recipients. So when they make these products over there, and they're paying their laborers $60 or $80 or $1 an hour, much lower than in America, then they ship the products to America. What America does then is pays China, either via currency or a blip on a computer screen. And what does China do with their money then? A percentage of this money. They buy America's debt back with it. Now, why would China want to buy our debt. Well, people say, well, it's a good investment. Well, no, it's a horrible investment. Who the hell would want to buy America's debt anywhere in the world? Nobody wants our debt. Well, they need our dollars, of course, to buy oil with. But the way I see this is that 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, when they were going to have this major push to outsource America's manufacturing base to foreign countries, they set up these deals with China, but they said, America is already so far in debt, we need somebody to prop them up. So you're going to be making massive, massive profits, and you're going to take a percentage of this money and buy America's debt with it. I mean, does anything else make sense to you about that?
Yeah. Also, in this article, they talk about the new grand chessboard, the perception that China has finally emerged as a major regional power in its own right and is beginning to challenge America's long-term dominance mm-hmm. in the Asia-Pacific region. They're talking about three objectives that the Bush administration is clearly engaged in this systematic, coordinated way to contain Chinese power and influence in Asia. The first objective being to convert existing relations with Japan, Australia, and South Korea into this robust anti-Chinese alliance, to bring other nations, particularly India, into this alliance, and to expand U.S. military capabilities in the Asia-Pacific region, just to keep our forces strong there. Now, you notice China's been bolstering itself economically and right. militarily all this time while we're fighting the war on terror.
Yeah. But I think the one way you have to look at it differently is that it's not really America's forces or America's interests. I think what these alliances are being done for is because the New World Order always wants someone to counteract whoever the new king of the hill is. So
right.
when the world came out of World War II, America was the undoubted king of the hill. That's why Russia had to be pushed forward and we needed this Cold War. And if America does the big collapse, China's going to be the next king of the hill. So that's why they need these alliances. In case uh-huh. China gets out of line, they have somebody to fight back against them.
Right. Speaking of the war...
Well, there's a couple other things, though. Let's continue on this for a second. Is now that we see that China is America's banker and that they've become this economic powerhouse, the next thing we have to look at also is Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a guy on the radio this morning, and he wrote a book called America's Coming War. And he's saying that it's very, very likely within the next decade that there's going to be a war between the United States and China.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that's going to set it off, at least on the surface, is going to be Taiwan. But I think behind the scenes, it's going to be something more than that. It's either going to be oil or China if they decide to drop the purchase of America's debt.
Well, an interesting thing in this article about China was that the author said that the future cash cow for the U.S. weapons-making corporations is going to be making weapon systems for an impending war with China mm-hmm. down the road. That's
yeah.
the future cash cow.
So it's just going to shift
for the military-industrial complex.
Yeah, it'll shift from the Middle East
uh-huh.
over into Asia right. again. And imagine, I want everyone to just take a moment and imagine, if China does invade Taiwan, then everything is up to the United States. Do they blink? Or do they go? But like I said, I think this is all a smokescreen because China doesn't give a damn about Taiwan. Well, this author was saying, oh, it's all about national pride. No, it's not about that. I think that's a smokescreen where it all depends on if China's going to keep buying America's debt or if they say, all right, it's time to cash in, because if one major country cashes in, all the rest follow. They tumble like dominoes. So Taiwan will be the thing that they put out there, the smokescreen, but there's more going on behind the scenes. And to invade China would be foolhardy beyond belief, as foolhardy as is invading Iran right now.
Right. Well, they've got the military capability to challenge the United States, I
yeah.
believe.
Yeah.
Speaking of the war bill, just thought I'd remind everybody, in 2004, the war bill was at $59 billion. In 2005, it leaped to $81 billion, and it's anticipated in 2006 to reach $94 billion.
Hmm.
And that's from the Center of Strategic and Budgetary Assessments, in case you're interested in looking. The U.S. government spends nearly $10 billion a month in destroying Iraq and Afghanistan and killing a bunch of our soldiers and civilians, up from $8.2 billion just a year ago.
Well, speaking of where our money's going over there in Iraq, have you heard about this massive embassy that they're building in Baghdad? It's amazing that they have, it's like a fortress, like a compound, they describe it as. They said it's the size of Vatican City. Vatican City, that's how big it is. And it's cloaked in secrecy.
Little kingdom, yeah.
So there's a woman named Roberta Rossi, who's a spokeswoman for the embassy, and she says, we can't talk about it for security reasons.
No, we can just pay for it.
Yeah.
Okay?
And what this complex or this embassy consists of right now is there's 21 buildings on 104 acres. 104 acres.
And what is this supposed to house?
Well, you know what? I don't even know. It's some kind of U.S. embassy in Baghdad.
But what about their government taking over? You know,
right.
The new puppet government that's supposed to take over? What do we need all that there if they're going to take over control of their country?
Yeah, isn't that the plan, is to hand things over to the Iraqis?
I don't think that was ever in the plan.
Yeah. Well, they say that this embassy is by far the largest that the United States will ever build anywhere in the world. And right now, it was budgeted initially at $592 million. Well, already, the estimates are that it's over $1 billion in costs already. So when you think about all this money going to Iraq, and they say, well, we need this money to fight the war on terrorism. No, they're building U.S. bases everywhere. They're building these massive embassies that are bigger than Vatican City. And yesterday we talked about a local hospital 30 miles from here shutting down.
Uh-huh.
So we can't keep our own hospitals open,
right,
but we can build these massive
brand new ones.
Pink elephants over there.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Hey, did you see this about Rove? Karl Rove, the deputy chief of staff, has surrendered his policy management duties yesterday. He's going to retain his title, but he's now going to focus on broad strategy and politics. Gee, does that tell you something?
Well,
no.
Well, what that means is they're so desperately, meaning the GOP, so desperately afraid of a slaughter this fall in the midterm elections.
Well, he's going to be replaced by Joel D. Kaplan, who's going to run the day-to-day policy process. Also, everybody knows by now, Scott McClellan has resigned as the press secretary. Get this, the new public face being considered, maybe Fox News radio host Tony Snow or former Iraq occupation spokesman Dan Senior.
That's right. And that
Tony
shows...
Tony Snow.
Yeah, Tony Snow, who's very conservative and when it comes to spewing propaganda, he does it very well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they want a propagandist, they're going in the right direction. I would doubt that Snow gets the job, but I could be wrong. But when we go back to Rove, it shows how desperate the GOP is, because there's going to be a slaughter this fall where they could lose both houses in Congress. And if that happens, first of all, I think the Bush presidency is already over anyway. But if this fall, if the Democrats win, it's completely lame duck then. And try to imagine being Scott McClellan for the last 2.5 years. He had to deal with the leaks. He had to deal with Iraq. He had to deal with the WMD lies.
The growing questions about 9/11.
And, hang on about that. And he had to deal with Dick Cheney's debacle.
Uh-huh.
Where he was just sitting out there squirming because he knew that it was nothing but lies. And Ari Fleischer, who used to be a spokesman for the White House, said that when you're in that job, it's like a human pinata. But you know what, Lisa? How hard is it really? Because you have a controlled press corps.
Mm-hmm.
They only
throwing softballs at you.
Yeah, they only go so far. And think about this. Since 9/11, it's been 4.5 years now, how many people have asked from these mainstream media press corps, how many have asked George Bush or Scott McClellan or Dick Cheney a real 9/11 question?
Well, go further. Where is the curiosity with any member of Congress? How come they're more interested in talking, when it comes to 9/11, talking about stuff like Able Danger, instead of why the Secret Service didn't just whoosh Bush right out of Booker Elementary School on 9/11? Or how about any of the physical anomalies and inconsistencies with the official version of events? Not one member of Congress. Do you think there was a little meeting behind closed doors where everybody was told, a very different version.
Right.
And, of course, you know, there's national security, that nice little umbrella, so they don't have to talk about it, and they're not allowed, of course, to talk about it.
So when you hear on the nightly news how hard this job is, take it with a grain of salt, because it's not that hard. And to show how little people want to become a part of this administration now, Treasury Secretary John Snow is on his way out. Well, I guess they interviewed three different people, or they selected three different people from Wall Street to be potential candidates to fill John Snow's job as Treasury Secretary. All three of them turned it down. They said, we don't want nothing to do with it.
I do think it's hard, though. It's hard in a way, because 4+ years of lying is hard. You know, it's hard to keep up with your lies and to get them all straight.
Well, and they don't keep them all straight.
Right.
I mean, just think of 9/11. They've given at least 5 different explanations now why the World Trade Center towers came down.
Uh-huh.
And not one of them has been proven true.
Right, not one of them. Also, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, well, he's not planning to resign, despite the growing criticism from a number of these retired military generals calling for him to do so publicly. And, of course, George W., who says, I'm the decider, so we're not going to see Donald Rumsfeld going away anytime soon. Condi Rice says to expect more violence even after the new puppet government, well, she didn't use the word puppet, I am, the new government takes over in Iraq, you know, I guess the government that's supposed to, what?
To fill this embassy, this billion-dollar embassy.
Pretend to rule that country? Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, Lisa, yesterday we were talking about taxes and the budget and so forth on this show. And we got an email from Patriot Jim Kuzual, and he said that he agreed with everything we were talking about. But he says, before we reform the IRS or before we get rid of the Federal Reserve or any of these things, he says, first we have to take our government back.
Right.
And he said, it's all great
ideas.
Because
they won't allow us to do any other changes unless we control the whole thing. They'll just stop us. They'll nip it at the, chop us off at the knees.
And just again to show how big and overbloated our government is that we spend, meaning our government, $5.1 million every minute. Every minute from our federal budget, $5.1 million has spent since Bush came into office. Federal spending has increased 45%. 45% in just 5 years. Under Bill Clinton, it increased 32%. Under old man Bush, it was 23%. And it's just, it's amazing. Right now, they're saying that a worker who has a salary of $44,000 a year is losing 35% of his taxes to the tax liability. That comes to $15,000. So of this $44,000, he's getting to keep about $28,000 of it. It's just sickening to see how much money is being stolen every year, and the interest on our deficit, $352 billion last year.
Russia, yesterday, I guess, says, it will remain neutral and not intervene in the event there's a U.S.-Iranian armed conflict, according to the head of the Russian Armed Forces. He says, a military solution to the Iranian problem would be a political and military mistake. Of course, our president says that he's not going to rule out nuclear strike if his diplomacy tactic doesn't work. And, of course, the U.S. already enforces sweeping sanctions of its own against Iran. But Tuesday, the U.S. failed to secure international support for targeted sanctions against Iran. Russia says, you know, they don't want to be involved. They don't want to take a side either way.
Well, we'll see.
And right, we certainly will see.
And if George Bush not ruling out nukes isn't enough for you, he did come up with his new National Pandemic Influenza Response Plan. So in other words, if this avian bird flu is deliberately unleashed across the United States, he has now 300 specific tasks for these various federal agencies. One of the things they're going to do is they have to decide which frontline workers are going to be the first to be vaccinated.
You see, that's my question. They have such a very finite, limited number of these supposed vaccines. Who gets them?
Yeah. Well, and who wants them?
Yeah.
I mean, if they're saying come on down to town square and line up to get your vaccination, I'm not going to be the first one standing in line. Also,
I'm gonna take my chances.
Yeah. Listen to this, Lisa. They also want to expand the internet capacity so that all of these people that if they're going to be quarantined or whatever, that don't be able to work from their homes. So what do you think they're going to be doing?
Everybody be under house arrest.
Yeah, well, and whenever I hear expanding internet capacity, what the hell does that mean?
Expanding it for whom?
Yeah, yeah, and meaning what? Meaning what?
Yeah.
The Treasury Department is signing agreements with other nations so that if our U.S. currency can't be printed, maybe other nations will. Now, think about this. If we can't print money anymore...
Where are they going to be printing it? In India?
Yeah. But don't you think this sounds, again, like a smokescreen?
Yeah.
If we put in this bird flu, then it's a ready-made excuse that the economy is going to fall apart. And since we can't print money anymore, we just want to let the other nations know about it and so
maybe
forth.
Maybe soon we'll be seeing our currency, our little greenbacks here, with Made in China stamped across.
Yeah. There's also other government agencies stockpiling millions of latex gloves. And the vets are actually coming up with something called drive-through medical exams. Drive-through medical exams, is that just another code word?
You mean
you
don't even have to get out of your car?
Yeah, is that just another code word for taking the vaccination in your arm? Think about all. It's like going to McDonald's, but instead of getting a Big Mac, you get your injection.
I think I read somewhere that the average doctor visit lasts about 7 minutes.
Yeah.
So how long will this drive-through one last?
Oh, 8 seconds. Just stick your arm out and get the needle. And they're saying that if this spreads the way that it possibly could, it could last for 18 months, could kill 1.9 million Americans, and I don't believe it for a second. This is man-made. This is a ruse. And it's unbelievable that... But then again, we have Homeland Security. And here's a quote from a man whose last name is Runge, R-U-N-G-E. He says, one of the scariest thoughts is, if this country has successfully developed a vaccine within 6 months of an outbreak, or our supply of the antivirus is greater than anybody else's, there's going to be a huge rush into the United States to get the antivirus. So yet again, it'll knock down the borders, open them wide up for anybody.
You mean there isn't a huge rush to get into the United States already occurring?
Anybody can flood into this country, so.
Hey, do you hear, well, I don't want to give you any more bad news. Apparently the only good news we have today is that the sun is shining and it's going to get up to 80 degrees here. But oil hit an all-time high yesterday. Now, one source I read said $73 a barrel. Another source said $74.
Mm-hmm.
Iran's situation with the West is being cited as the cause of the fears and tensions over some type of impending action against Iran is being the cause. And, of course, who benefits from this?
Well, Exxon's CEO, we posted this article yesterday on the Wing TV homepage, is making over $13,000 an hour. So whatever you hear about Nigeria and Venezuela and Iraq and Iran and there's not enough refineries and the supply's too low and blah, blah, blah. Remember, the CEO of ExxonMobil, $13,000+ an hour. He took over $1 billion out of that company in the last decade. And
there are a lot of people that don't even make $13,000 in a year.
Yeah, he's making it in an hour. And I was thinking about this this morning, Lisa. Imagine out in Los Angeles now, gas is well over $3 a gallon. Some of these people are commuting an hour and a half each way to get to work. And the reason they have to live so far away from work is because
they can't afford anything in the cities.
Right, so they have to move out into the desert and they have to sit in traffic.
Or out in the boonies.
Yeah, and an hour and a half each way, they're paying over $3 a gallon. Can you imagine the road rage? And just the feeling of helplessness and rage that I can't imagine that there's not more people just getting out the razor blades and slitting their wrists.
In New York, it hit $4.50 a gallon, according to something that's going around today. So, I mean, I don't know, you know, how high it's going to have to go before people absolutely freak out in the streets.
Yeah. And one last thing before we go. And on May 1st, I don't know how many people have heard about this, but Mexico, illegal immigrants, all of these groups that are supporting the illegal immigrants. On May 1st, they want something called the Great American Boycott. This is also known as Nothing Gringo Day. So what they want to do is they don't want to support any business on that day that's an American business. So there's a gentleman, or one of the slogans is, remember, nothing gringo on May 1st. So that means they're not going to buy anything from Dunkin' Donuts, McDonald's, Burger King, Starbucks, Sears, Roebuck, Krispy Kreme, even
Walmart.
Sounds like
a really good day to go shopping.
Yeah, really. And it's also being dubbed as a day without immigrants, so they might not show up for work that day. They might not go to school. And, you know, as we said last week, maybe they won't commit crimes. Maybe they won't murder, deal drugs, rape, and so forth. And so here's a country, Lisa, that all of the proponents for this illegal immigration...
Why are they here? They hate this country so much, and they hate the people of this country so much. Why are they here?
Yeah, and we're being told that they just want to come in here and work and raise their families and be part of this nation.
Then do it the right way.
Yeah. But then they have no gringo day. I mean, think of this, gringo. They're allowed to come up with this terminology. And
it sounds
like
something out of the movies.
Yeah. Well, I don't hear George Bush coming out and denouncing Vicente
Fox
or the
immigration
group. Why
aren't these illegals getting rebuked by our president for trying to incite Americans, naturalized and legitimately, you know, people who were born here?
What if, think about this, it just came into my head this second. What if the Minutemen came up with a slogan for May 1st, and they said, it's no wetback day, or it's no spick day? The whole world would be freaking out and going crazy. Or what if we had no derogatory, and, you know, come up with any derogatory term you want for blacks or the Jews or the Irish or the English or on and on. What if we came up with no Mick Day for the Irish? The whole world would go nuts. But the Mexicans, the illegal immigrants that are breaking the law, can come up with no Gringo Day, and nobody's saying a damn word about
it. When is that supposed to be?
May 1st.
I'm going shopping.
So before we go, check out the Wing TV homepage. We have an article called Network News, Resigned to Defeat. And what it really does is show how the network news, ABC, NBC, CBS, has become an obsolete, outdated dinosaur. They have no relevance whatsoever. And even the cable shows are nothing more than this partisan ideologue bickering back and forth. And we conclude by saying,
conditioning, not news.
Right. If you want to know what's going on in the world, you need to go to sites like Wing TV. You need to listen to Frank Whalen, Michael Collins Piper, Visigoth, the Information Corner, on and on. That's where the real news, the real commentary, the real discussion is happening. So, you know, we watch the news 10 or 15 minutes a day, and we have to run out of the room because it's just so unbelievable.
Just remember, anything they tell you, you need to automatically look between the lines, turn it upside down, inside out, because you're never going to get the straight-up scoop.
Right, and it's like if whatever they tell you, think the opposite. A few months after 9/11, when George Bush came out and said, don't believe these conspiracy theories, I think that's a buzzword for everyone to say, we better believe the conspiracy theories because that's the truth.
That's right. The world is completely upside down, folks.
Yeah. So as you heard, there's a lot going on in the world today. We're going to be back tomorrow. Not really sure where we're heading with the show, but it's Friday, end of the week, beautiful day here. So go out, enjoy some of it, but also keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
See you all then.